Heidelberg Catechism, and we find ourselves on Lord's Day 45, looking at question and answers 116, 17, 18, and 19. I will read 16, 17, and 18, because 119 will come in our text. So you'll find it on page 51. Of the old Sing to the Lords, and page 845 in the newer ones, but the majority will have it on page 51. And you will remember that we have done with the Ten Commandments, and we are still in the section of the Heidelberg Catechism that deals with our gratitude towards what the Lord has done, an expression of our gratitude. So one expression is obedience, and the other expression is prayer. And this is why the Heidelberg Catechism picks up an exposition of the Lord's Prayer through the next few questions. So 116 asks, why do Christians need to pray? Answer, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. 117 asks, how does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart, to know other than the one true God, who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. Third, we must rest on His unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what He promised us in His Word. 118. What did God command us to pray for? Answer, everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. Now, we'll look at that as we come to Matthew chapter 6. The text today, or this evening, is just the first portion there, verses 5 to 8. But I'll continue reading through to verse 14. Of chapter 6, verse 1. And this is, of course, within the context of the Sermon on the Mount, and the Lord Jesus teaches. And when you pray, you be like the hypocrites, for they too love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that you need what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So far, the reading. We'll come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You that You are so mindful of our weaknesses, that You have given us even a way to pray, a way to come before You, a way to express ourselves to You. We ask, Lord, that as we seek to know Your mind and Your heart more through this text, that You will enlighten us by Your Spirit, that You will guide my thoughts and my words so that I will only say what You have revealed, that You may apply by Your Spirit these words to our hearts and may it shape and form us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen. Now, you know, profound theology comes to you from the most unexpected sources. You know, yesterday, I was sitting and thinking about what I would use as an introduction for this particular sermon on prayer. And I was at a loss. And all of a sudden, I thought I'd pray. I'd pray that the Lord might give me some inspiration. And then the boys were watching on the computer a little show on Jelly Telly. And it was called The Praying Mantis Who Could Not Pray. And and I just said, thank you, Lord. Because here we had this little praying mantis who was terribly embarrassed because he did not know how to pray. But luckily, he had two friends, Hermy and Wormy, who were there and who taught him how to pray. And he got closer to God through it. He was sanctified through it. And I tell you this because maybe this evening you can relate to this little praying mantis who did not know how to pray. Maybe you might feel like because you are a Christian, you should just automatically know how to pray. It's something that should just come naturally for a Christian. Maybe at Bible studies you'll sit there and listen as people start to pray around the room and you'd become terrified and nervous because you think you're totally inadequate. And then, of course, when you start, you might be one of those who, like myself, who stumble over his words and just you feel like you just don't know how to pray. Maybe even in your private prayers, you sometimes struggle to find words. And maybe you feel a bit like someone who just isn't gifted in prayer. It's just too hard. Maybe that's something I shouldn't do. Maybe that's something I should leave for others to do. But beloved, I want to encourage you tonight with the words of Scripture, because it tells us that even the apostles, even the disciples of Jesus, needed to be taught how to pray. And this is what is going to occupy our time over the next few weeks as we study the Lord's Prayer following on in the Heidelberg Catechism. We are going to allow to ask Jesus to teach us how to pray. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the apostles came to Jesus. This is the parallel passage to Matthew chapter 6. And they said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And the first question that has to jump up at us here at this request is why did they ask this particular thing? They could have asked the Lord to teach them how to heal the sick or to teach them how to raise the dead. They could have asked him to teach them these miraculous things, but yet they came to him to ask about instruction on how to pray. And you wonder why. And beloved, the answer is because they saw a link between Jesus' powerful ministry and his prayer life. After Jesus would heal the sick or raise the dead or teach the crowd, they would often see him withdraw himself to pray. Jesus would spend entire evenings in prayer. He would pray at times so earnestly that the sweat, we are told, would drop like would look like drops of blood on him. Jesus was always earnest in prayer, intense in prayer, purposeful in prayer, intentional in prayer, and continually in prayer. And the disciples could not help but notice Jesus' commitment to prayer. But really, this was not unique to Christ. Christ came to remind us of the importance of prayer. Yes, the Lord enjoyed an intimacy with the Father that was really second to none. Of course he did. But prayer is a mark of God's people throughout the Scripture. The prophet Daniel, for example, was in the habit of praying three times a day. And as God's people now, we are to do no less. Paul writes that we are to pray without ceasing. And the Lord Jesus says in our text, when you pray, not if you pray, when. This is a command. It is an imperative. But why is prayer so important? This is the first question the Catechism is asking this evening. And its answer is this. Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. You see, here the Heidelberg Catechism is simply summarizing what the Lord taught about prayer. For example, the Lord Jesus would say, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. These imperatives all relate to prayer. And we see here that it has pleased God to respond to prayer. But more than that, what we see here is that we are to desire, we are to strive for, we are to long for intimacy with God through prayer. We are to draw near to Him in prayer, and if you want to know what that looks like, brothers and sisters, you have to look at the Psalms. You have to immerse yourself in the Psalms. You have to be with David as he is in a dry and weary land, longing for water, panting after God. The psalmist pants after God as a deer pants after water in prayer. He lies awake through the watches of the night, praying. Earnestly he seeks God in prayer. Congregation, prayer is important because it is in prayer that we draw near to God. And it is so very important to draw near to God, simply because He promises to draw near to us when we come to Him in prayer. So praying is never mechanical. It is never a recitation. Prayer must always involve your heart and your mind. It must engage your very spirit. Prayer, beloved, is an encounter with God. It is coming into His presence, approaching your Father in heaven. But in saying that, prayer must never be irreverent or flippant. It can never be a formality. But yet at the same time, it has to have a sense of formality. And this is because God is God and we're not. When we pray, we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we must approach Him with humility, reverence and awe. As we shall see in the coming weeks, the Lord has given us a way to pray, a manner which is appropriate to pray in. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. It's showing us a way to pray. It gives us a structure. It guides us. God is to regulate our prayer through the Scripture. And maybe this is also part of why the disciples wanted Jesus to teach them how to pray. They understood that prayer was a gateway to God, and they knew that God was a consuming fire. They would have known about the high priest who had to tie a rope around his leg if he was entering into the Holy of Holies in the temple. In case he did something wrong and was struck dead, then at least they'll have a rope around his leg so that they could track out the corpse. The corpse. The disciples would have been familiar with that. So they come to Jesus and they say, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to come before God correctly. How are we to approach God? And then the Lord says, first and foremost, you must not be like the hypocrites. In other words, you mustn't approach Him insincerely. The Heidelberg Catechism helps us to understand this in question and answer 117. It says, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God. We must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing and humbling ourselves in His majestic presence. We must not be like the hypocrites, Jesus says, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. We are to be sincere and truthful in our prayer. Even when we say grace, you know that very term, saying grace before a meal. Beloved, we are to pray before a meal. We are to thank God for our food. We are to thank Him sincerely for what He has given us. We are not like a Hindu or a Buddhist who simply recites a mantra. We are speaking to the living God when we pray. And that knowledge should guide us. You know, a hypocrite in the ancient world was an actor. And in those days, the actors would wear masks. So a hypocrite was really someone with a false face. And what both the Catechism and Jesus is telling us to avoid is to have this false face on when we speak to God. We must be sincere. Now this is then a matter of the heart, isn't it? You are not insincere, beloved, if you use big words, for example. Nor are you insincere if you use common language. You are insincere when you use big words or common language in order to impress others with your prayer. You are not insincere if you pray in public. But you are insincere if you pray in public in order to be seen as one who prays. It is not insincere to prepare your prayers beforehand. I remember I used to write things down and memorize things before a Bible study when I just started to attend church. There's nothing wrong with that, because when I prayed, my heart was true. There's nothing wrong with preparing your prayers beforehand. There's nothing wrong with reading your prayers in a Bible study or when you come up here to pray for the congregation. There's nothing wrong with that as long as your heart is true. You see, it would be insincere to prepare your prayer so that you can impress people with your prayer, yes? In other words, maybe it comes down to this. When you pray, just be yourself. He knows you. He knows your failings. He knows your mumblings. He knows your fears. You can't hide anything from God. You can be yourself before Him. Jesus then goes on to say that when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You see, Jesus is here teaching against having a facade of piety. He's not telling us to be closet Christians. He's not telling us to seclude ourselves. No, that's the opposite of what Jesus teaches. Jesus says, go out, pray for people. But what He is saying here is that prayer is a private conversation between the one praying and God. Now, how does that work with congregational prayer like I just did earlier? Well, during congregational prayer, the congregation, as Dr. R.C. Sproul writes, well, that you're eavesdropping when the pastor is addressing God. As the pastor prays on behalf of the congregation, you are invited to listen in to my conversation with God. And you can agree and take part. And it is a wonderful, wonderful symbol of unity and the common bond we enjoy as Christians. The point is that prayer is always personal. though not always private. Prayer is always personal, but it doesn't always have to be private. And Jesus does emphasize the importance of private prayer. He does say, make time to be alone with God. Some of the greatest Christians, in history has made that the most important part of their day, to be alone with God. Martin Luther would say that, I have so much to do during today that if I don't, spend at least 3 hours in prayer, I'll never get through it all. And we must be the same. I often think that we don't have time to pray, but yet we can't afford not to ask the Lord's help in what we need to do. There is, Finally, Jesus teaches us to avoid superstitious prayer rituals. Like I said, prayer is not a mantra. It is not an emptying of the mind. It is not meditation. It is not recitation without thinking about what you're saying. As we have said, prayer is seeking. It is asking. It is knocking. It is pursuing. It is longing for. It is petitioning. It is imploring. Prayer engages all our faculties when it is done correctly. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, you will notice that we do not recite the Lord's Prayer, but we pray it. We pray it together. When we do this, we are actively engaging with every petition. There's a famous pamphlet by Martin Luther, which he wrote to his barber. He went to a haircut one day and his barber asked him, "How do I pray, Dr. Luther?" There's actually a great children's book in the library if you want to take it out. But the advice he gave him was that he was to pray through the Lord's Prayer. By this he meant that you use every petition as a springboard. You pray, for example, "Our Father in Heaven." And then you elaborate on that. You might elaborate on the Father's love for the world in that He sent His Son. And that results in praise and worship and gratitude and the prayer of thanksgiving. And you give honor and glory to Him through your prayer. And then you go on to the next petition. You use that as a springboard and you pray through the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus said, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. The emphasis there is on the word empty. Do not heap up empty words. Do not heap up meaningless words. Say words with substance. Say words that matter. Say words that would build up the congregation. Build each other up. Pray and stir each other up. Let your words have weight. And beloved, the words that have the most weight is the words of Scripture. That makes sense, doesn't it? So above all, pray the Scripture. Pray the verses. Let the words of Scripture teach you how to pray. Pray the words of Psalm 51. Or pray the words of Psalm 23. Ask the Lord, lead me, Lord, in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lead me in those paths. Pray the words of Scripture. Let the words of Scripture inspire you. Let it give meaning to your prayer. Structure to your prayer. Clarity to your prayer. And in this regard, let the Psalms especially guide you. Let the Psalms especially guide you in this respect. The third question of the Lord's Day 45 asks, what does God command us to pray for? And the answer it gives is so wonderful. It says everything. Everything we need, spiritually and physically. God commands us to pray for our every need. And this is why the Lord's Prayer is so profound. Simply because it encapsulates our every need. We do not know what we need. So God says to us, this is what you need. This is what you need. Pray for it. And this is why the Lord says, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And then after He says this, He teaches the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. So we must ask for our every need. And since the Lord knows what we need before we ask Him, we should pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven. Beloved, what we must understand this evening is that we are about to embark on a study of the Lord's Prayer. And this prayer, or in praying, it is not a search for things, but rather a search for communion. That's the fundamental things that we need to understand here. When we pray, we are not searching for things, but for communion. Our greatest need is for God Himself. Our greatest need is to be reconciled to Him and to live in relationship with Him. Our greatest need is to know Him as our Father in heaven. And that is why. That is why, beloved, Jesus taught us how to pray with the Lord's Prayer. Amen. We'll pray together. Our Father, we stand convicted in knowing that our prayers are but feeble. We know that our minds and our hearts are so often not engaged when we come before You. We often do not realize the gravity of the nature of prayer. And we ask, Lord, that by Your Spirit You will remind us of that. May prayer never become automatic, but may it always be an encounter with the living God. We pray, Lord, that we may know You as such. And we ask, Lord, that You may continue to stir us so that we may draw near to You in prayer. Without ceasing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our